The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this third Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we're going to talk about the letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians about the body of Christ. So please stay with us, and we will be right back.
January is Respect Life Month, and you are invited to join thousands of Catholics and others nationwide in the annual Respect Life Novena, 9 days for life, Wednesday, January 19th through Thursday, January 27th. You can sign up at 9daysforlife.com to receive daily intentions, brief reflections, and more via email or text message. You can also help promote and share the novena using resources found at respectlife.org and usccb.org, where you'll have access to social media graphics, flyers, and more. Remember, if you miss the start of a novena, you can always begin your own personal novena at any time and right where you are.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
It's been a good week.
Yes, it has been.
It's been
busy,
as always. Always
but that's,
busy.
That's not a bad thing.
What keeps you out of trouble, Bishop?
Yes, it certainly does.
Well, you know, we're going to do something a little different today.
Yes.
We'll have our weekly reading of the Gospel for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time on this program, but this morning you're going to be reading the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians.
Right. And I chose this for several reasons, but one being that, you know, being the Corpus Christi, body of Christ.
Right.
And this is where St. Paul very explicitly outlines the components or why we are a body, not just in the body sacramentally in the Eucharist, but also a body as a society of people. And so I thought it would be good today just to read that and also comment on it a little bit. So, a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we are all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as He intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with great honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with great propriety. Whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have mighty deeds to work? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret the word of the Lord?
If I could say it's a lot to think about.
Yeah,
it's very deep.
This is where you see the wisdom of the apostles, the wisdom of God coming through the scriptures, because what he's describing, of course, as he's speaking to the Corinthians, is a community that is divided, and trying to bring them together and trying to get them to work together and trying to express who they are. This takes us, I guess, if you're going back to the roots, that we are created in God's image, and God is one, and yet he is three. And so there's a total distinction within God as Trinity, that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and neither one is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son. And yet, they are one. And why are they one? Because of this mutual indwelling, as Jesus speaks of in St. John's gospel and letter, reminds us of this indwelling within each other through love, that they are so the purity of love, which is to be who I am and yet live in the other, and to be so empty of myself because I know who I am to receive the other. It's the mystery that we are grounded in as church and as individuals, but sometimes we certainly don't pay enough attention to it. But I think there's certainly a journey to move more deeply into this mystery, because we do as Christian people, as Catholics, we live a mystery. It's not just the practical side of what can I get out of it, which is what our society promotes around us. But it's, we come to die into the mystery, to literally let go of our perception of things, of our way of solving all the mysteries of life and all the problems, and to enter into. But the church itself is mystery, and it's a mystery of communion. And this is the point that St. Paul is making in the gospel today. Two areas of this passage that really strike me, and we can look at the first one before our break and maybe the second one afterwards. One of the points that St. Paul makes here is he says, "Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary." That's very essential to any coming together, to any community life, because, and this is where it contrasts so heavily with our society, it's like only the strong survive. that song that we've all probably sang, I forget when, 60s, 70s, 80s, something like that only the strong survive. And St. Paul is pointing out to here that it is the weakest member that is so integral and so necessary for the rest of the functioning of the body. The eye may seem like a weak, but without the eye, we don't see. Without the ear, we don't hear. And of course, some of our brothers and sisters, even in our own community, can't see, some can't speak, some can't hear. So you would say, well, they're the weaker members. Well, actually, they're the more necessary. Because why? Because they draw out of us a love, a hidden love that we may not even know we have. I know when I meet sometimes with a disability, first of all, you recognize the gift of hearing, the gift of sight or whatever it is, But it also draws out of us a willingness to be more involved with them.
Right. And
this is the fallacy of you know, all this examinations of before birth and saying, well, if the baby's not totally perfect, then we eliminate it. Well, God has a plan for everything, and I say everything, because parents with disability are the most incredible people, because that child draws out from them a love that they may not even know they have, mm-hmm. something that's hidden in them. And so that's true in a parent-child relationship, but it's also true in the church. That's why I believe it's St. James when he speaks of bringing the poor to the front of the church and not leaving them in the back, so that we recognize that the weakest among us are really the most important. St. Vincent de Paul, I mean, if you look at the history of spirituality of the church, St. Vincent used to say the poor are our masters. They are the weakest, we would say, in a society, but they're our masters because they draw from us what is most divine in us, which is love. And so I think, you know, as we're looking at our parish communities this Sunday, as we attend Mass, or if we go to another church, but look around, and who do we humanly, and this is always the real key, who do we humanly say is the weakest member there this Sunday? And that's the person that is perhaps the strongest, because they're drawing from us what is hidden. It's too easy for us. And in fact, Pope Benedict has said more recently, off and on, that we've got to avoid the mentality that religion is a personal matter. In other words, I walk into church, I walk into Mass, I say my prayers, I receive communion, and I leave and go home.
Without saying a word to anybody.
Not speaking to anyone, or maybe minimal participation. And he's saying, and I think it's good to mention that today on this, when we're focusing on this, the reality of the body of Christ, that this mentality of religion is individual, only for me. There's certainly a part of it. I mean, it's my faith. I have to develop that faith with God's grace, but it has to be shared. Mm-hmm. And so when I look around in that context, who is the weakest that I see in the parking lot? And that person's going to draw something out of me that I may not know I have. And so they're really the greatest. This is the paradox of God. This is the paradox of religion, that what seems to be the weakest is actually the strongest. And that's the point that St. Paul makes as he's speaking of the body, even the human body, the smallest part without it. You know, if you look at the larynx, I'm not a physician or all the parts of the body, but if you look at the smallest ones, without them, the rest of it doesn't work.
Right.
And so it's one of the realities that we should look at as we're living our faith in a community, in the community of the parish, in the community of the family, that don't overlook the weakest members of the community. Don't overlook what seems to be the less productive person of the community, because there we are being called to that person to build up what's the gifts that we have to be shared with them.
But they can teach us so much also.
Oh, my goodness. Certainly, they do.
They do. All right, we're going to take a short break and continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, shalom.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, we're continuing our conversation of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, where it's talking about the body and how important each part of the body is. Mm-hmm. And, Bishop, you talked about the first element before the break, but you mentioned that there was a second element to this letter that's very important for us that we ought to reflect on.
Right. Yeah, right. So the first one is really that the weakest member is really the most important because it does call us to task. It calls us to work together, really. It really, you know, when you think about it, the weakest is the mortar that really holds us all together because we're focused on that. But the second one is really plays off of that. The second thing that I think is very important to recognize in this letter this morning that we'll have at Mass is that this element of the body that seems to be the less important, the weakest, however we want to put it, is there so that there are no divisions. And that's what St. Paul says, so that there may be no division of the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. So again, saying that there should be no division among you. And this is something that St. Paul constantly had to address with the community of Corinth, these divisions. And why do I say that's important? Because as we live this year of faith and as we seek to be evangelizers, as we focus on not just the personal element of our faith, but the communal element, unity, communion of the body of Christ is of the highest importance. And I just can't stress that, you know, enough, that it is of the highest importance. Because Jesus himself said, by this they will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another, your unity, your communion with one another, your affection, your working together is already a witness in the new evangelization. As I've said, and we keep working towards this, that really building greater communion and unity within our parishes is of the utmost importance for the new evangelizations. We can create evangelizers, you know, we can train persons to go within their families, within their communities to announce the gospel. But the core of that is really the communion, the unity that is found within the parish, within the diocese, within the whole church. So often, we as human beings, we live a very sectionalized life. You know, that it's very partitioned, I might say. And this happens anytime that there's a gathering of people. So one person belongs to this organization, one belongs this, one does this ministry, one does that ministry. And we had our ministry fair a couple of weeks ago, and I brought this out too in my homily, and basically it's going to be the same thing now that I want to point out to those that are listening. And somehow, you know, everyone's ministry is the most important, and that can creep into us. But this particular passage of St. Paul reminds us that there are different functions of the body, but they're all important, and they have to work together. It's not that mine is more important than yours. I was in a parish once where we had many, many ministries, many, many, many groups, and few rooms to meet in. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a little push and shove.
My point was always, you know, we can meet on the street just as easy as we can meet in a room. But if there's bickering and fighting, and my meeting's more important than your meeting, and it will never, we're destroying ourselves before we even meet.
Where's the unity?
We have no, the body doesn't function this way. So that kind of became a theme song. And you could see people beginning to defer to one another and say, well, we can meet next week or whatever. So and then we'd have I'd call it the calendar setting party every year where we all came together. Okay, let's hash it out here over the calendar. And then that's set. And it worked. It worked. There's always human tension and weakness, but we basically worked it out. So the body has got to function as a unity for the good of evangelization and the good of everyone's faith.
Well, what I was thinking about when you were talking about the body and the unity of faith and evangelization, I think with evangelization, you know, yes, we can go out, but I always think about it when we're in church, to sit in a different pew, you know, just to do something a little bit different. And when you're in one of your organizations, don't eat at the same table with the people that are eating at the same time. Get to know other people.
Right.
You know, that's what's
welcoming.
Mix and
match, they say. Yeah.
Mix and match. Yeah. Pick a number and choose a table and get to know, because that's when strangers and visitors come into the church, that's what they're going to notice.
Or even
and that's
go to what a different mass time.
Exactly.
I used to always be amused by parishioners that went to one mass every Sunday and the other one that went to the other mass every Sunday. And we'd come together and they'd been in the same parish for 10 years, didn't even know each other existed. And I would introduce them to each other, and I'd been there like 2 years. So
right.
It's like, but because we don't, and that's just, we're creatures of habit. But that's another opportunity to just go to another mass time and get to know people. But I think in all of this, you know, what really can creep into our relationships that can destroy the unity and create the divisions in all of this? And in thinking of that, what does harm unity? What does harm the communion of the body of Christ? And I was reminded very clearly in the opening letter of Pope John Paul II with the new millennium, and he called it as the beginning of the new millennium, obviously. Novo Millennio in Iunte in Latin is what it's called. And it's in paragraph 43. He cites at the very end of that paragraph three things that can creep into a communal life that can destroy it. And they are, and I'll speak about each of them a little bit, jealousy, careerism, and competition.
Wow.
And because, as I was saying earlier, I'm part of this group, my group's better than your group, and then this group gets asked to do something, you know, bring up the gifts at mass and the other one does. I mean, these are petty things, but they're human and they're
seems
real.
Seems a little bit more rewarding
and somehow,
than the other.
Yeah, a little bit rewarded. Why did they do that? And the jealousies creep in. And this destroys communion. This is a dividing element of the body of Christ. And so we have to be attentive to that. And that's why St. Paul says if one is recognized, we all are recognized. If one is receiving award or if one is suffering, everybody's suffering. And that's because we're a body. We have to feel being a body. And we have to be very careful that the sin of jealousy does not creep into our life as a community or as a family, which can easily poison and destroy it. The other one is careerism. And anyone that works, you know, full-time in the church or anyone that has a vocation in the church, we're not on a climbing ladder of society. I think you mentioned last week the idea of, you know, promotions and demotions.
Right.
Well, you know, you can look at it from a secular point of view that way in various things, but as the body of Christ, we're there to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We're there to serve, to serve, to serve. And we've got to get that through our heads. We're not on a career path, whether we're a priest, a deacon, a religious within their community, their order, whether, you know, climbing the ladder of the pastoral council to get to be head of it or to be head of the finance council or to be the grand knight of the Knights of Columbus or the regent of the, all of these things, which are important. We have to have the structure.
Right.
But within the body of Christ, when we see it as the body of Christ, there is no career. The only career in the body of Christ is service, which is love. And once we have that planted in our mind, the body of Christ will grow. If we keep this idea of I'm on a career path, even within the church, then we're going to lose. And we will not build up the body of Christ. In fact, and I don't want to say it too strongly, but we could destroy it because we destroy the unity and the divisions creep in.
And the negativity will creep in too.
Right.
And ruin relationships and distrust and everything that can happen.
Right.
When
and
you're
it's
all
no
out for you.
Exactly. And it's no longer a witness to others.
Right.
You know, when people see a disunited or a dysfunctional kind of, who wants to belong to that group? You know, and that's where I say that this evangelization is also internal, that if a community really understands themselves as the body of Christ, that their only career, their only vocation is to love, to serve, to serve, to serve, no matter who they are, no matter they are at the top of the heap administratively or at the bottom of the heap administratively, we're there to serve. We're the same. And this is the beauty of the body of Christ. And that's why St. Paul points out there are different parts, but they all function for one purpose, and that's Christ Jesus. The last one, which kind of falls in line with that, is competition. And again, that's just a human thing, and there certainly is good competition, which draws something out of me that I may not know is there, but there's also bad competition where I'm trying to get ahead of you, and if I can get ahead of you, then I can put you down or whatever, you know, kind of dynamic, human dynamic is there. So jealousy, careerism, and competition, these are things within the body of Christ that have no place because they create division. And we're here to witness to Christ who came to redeem us and to create us as his body with him as the head. And we are the worker bees who love and work for him.
And these things are so concrete for us to focus on. You know, the jealousy, the careerism, the competition.
We all know what it is.
We all know what it is. And so when we recognize it in ourselves, we need to dial
right.
it back.
No.
Exactly.
Good.
Well, Bishop, if you could end our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Certainly. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.